Hello, 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 and welcome to the Sober Butterfly Podcast, your favorite resource for sober inspo, sober fun, and sober travel. My name is Nadine Molvina, and I'm your host, and this week's episode we are devoting entirely to seasonal depression, the dreaded seasonal depression that many of us have experienced. And when you are sober or when you're trying to quit drinking, this can be an extremely vulnerable time in your life. I think that we're excited for this time of year, and I understand why, because we're like, okay, there's so many holidays, right? And a lot of people associate holidays with happiness, but actually it can be the most triggering time for sober people because so much of the holiday season is comprised of drinking, or it includes celebrating, and the way in which we as a society usually celebrate involves some form of alcohol. So there's tons of office parties, for example. We have Halloween, we have Thanksgiving, we have Christmas, we have New Year's. We have these big staples in terms of the calendar year, in terms of big celebrations pop up. So a lot of people think that, you know, summer is the time in which you wouldn't want to drink. But I actually found that after surviving a summer, my first summer, this is last year, my first summer sober, I was like, oh, if I got through summer, I'm good. I was not good, okay? It was actually harder to do this stretch of time, so the end of the year, so October through December, getting through those holidays was actually more triggering for me than I expected. So I want to name that, not to scare people, but so that you are empowered with knowledge and know what to expect going into these coming months, especially if you're not sober. If you are sober, I'm wondering, do you find it harder to be sober this time of year? So looking at fall and winter and all of the holidays that are packed into this time frame, or are you like, oh, summer was actually harder for me, because I find that this time of year is harder. And this is someone that has a good relationship with her family. I feel like I enjoy spending time with friends and family during this time. But, you know, I'm even thinking about people who don't have close relations with loved ones or support in terms of being able to go home for XYZ holidays, whether that be Christmas, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, anything in between, right? Like, if you don't have support, that can actually be triggering. And then, like I said, on top of that, you can't go out as much. So what are you doing? How are you combating, you know, feelings of loneliness or feelings of depression during this time? So let's talk about what to actually do to help you through that. Because last winter, last fall, wasn't prepared for all of the temptations that came along with this time frame. All of the parties I was being invited to that I felt like I wasn't strong enough to go to, all of the alone time inside the house that I wasn't prepared for. So I want to share what you can do to actually help yourself through this time period. How to deal with the dreaded seasonal depression, also known as SAD, which is really fitting, the acronym SAD, S-A-D, which I'll get into in a little bit. But yeah, how do we cope or deal with seasonal depression when we are sober or trying to quit drinking? It is not easy, but it's also not impossible. So today we're going to be talking all about how to do that. I'll be sharing some of my favorite tips and personal anecdotes to accompany this episode. So I was born in London, which is known for being gray and being rainy, and a lot of people suffer from seasonal depression overseas. So if you're in London, all of my London, England viewers, listeners, I want to especially devote this episode to you, because England is just known for being gray and blah. And frankly, it is deserving of those titles. So I was born in London, but I left when I was really young. I was about 9 years old when I left London and moved to the opposite side of the world, but not even just in terms of geography, even in weather. So I grew up mainly in Florida, which is known as the Sunshine State. So I didn't really experience much seasonal depression. I don't even think I really heard that term until I moved to New York. And this is the first time I ever personally experienced seasonal depression. Now, when I say personally experienced it, I didn't realize I was experiencing it. I didn't have the language quite then to place what was happening to me. I just thought I was severely depressed. And it wasn't until, like, I would say, like, my third winter fall winter in New York that I heard the term seasonal depression. My friend Coco, shout out to Coco, was like, yeah, I really suffer from seasonal depression. And I'm like, what's that? What's seasonal depression? And so she broke it down for me and I was like, thank you. Okay, you've just given me the language to be able to place how I've been feeling for the past few years. For listeners or viewers who may not know what seasonal depression is, let's jump in by exploring what seasonal depression is. Seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD. It's basically a type of depression, hence the name, and it's triggered by a change of seasons, most commonly beginning in fall. So latest fall, right now we're midway through October. So this is around the time that we start seeing that because the days are shorter in terms of sunlight, having access to sunlight. So for example, I wake up every day for work around 6 a.m. And when I wake up, it's pitch black out. And when I'm coming home from work, you know, I'm getting home around the same time, 6 p.m., it is pitch black as well. So very depressing. You feel like your entire day has been spent in darkness. Like you're waking 3 hours at least. Oh my gosh, like I didn't get any sunlight today. How depressing is my life? Like, am I just programmed to work? Am I a robot? That's how I felt. I'm just like, this is life, right? So it can be really daunting and really depressing to have a lack of light in your life. Seasonal depression is a real thing. Knowledge is power. So let's just empower ourselves in understanding what seasonal depression or SAD, seasonal affective disorder, actually means and how you can tell if you're experiencing feelings of SAD. Okay, so the biggest thing, like I mentioned before, is a change of seasons, a drastic change for most people, depending on where you live, but mainly people all over the world, there's a big shift between summer and fall, especially the further we go into autumn. It can include feelings of sadness, a lack of energy, a loss of interest in usual activities, oversleeping, and weight gain. I really wanted to just emphasize the idea that you are triggered. And so we know as sober people, or if you are looking to become sober or stop drinking, you really have to be aware of your triggers. And when I hear people share in general, like, okay, I feel triggered by people, places, things, I rarely hear anyone ever say that they're triggered by weather. But weather is actually something that is completely out of our control, which I find a lack of control actually triggering. So it is something that I think should be talked more about, right? Like this idea of a big change in your life and then you lacking the control. It's just something that we all have to deal with. You can also get a mild version of SAD. Some people don't like to be labeled or to use the term depression, but just know that it's a spectrum. So the mild form of SAD or seasonal affective disorder is known as having the winter blues. That was something that I heard more commonly used growing up than saying that you have depression. SAD goes beyond just winter blues. It is a form of depression. And unlike the winter blues, SAD can affect your daily life, including on how you feel and how you think. Thankfully, you know, there's treatment that can help you. There's treatment in the forms of medication like antidepressants, which I have not taken. And then there are more natural remedies, which is what I want to focus on for the remainder of this episode. So ways in which we can cope with seasonal depression without the use of, say, an antidepressant. Now, I am not antidepressants. I think that you should be medicated. You should take medicine if you feel that you need it. If you and your doctor talk and you think that's the way to go, then by all means, go that route. Do what you need. Put whatever necessary into your toolbox. I personally have found success in using more natural remedies, taking a more holistic approach to my mental health, which is why I'm going to share the holistic remedies. Just in terms of preparation for this episode and doing research, because I tried and ground as much as I can with like science and, you know, having at least enough knowledge to share with you guys that's accurate. Just so you know, about 5% of adults in the United States experience SAD, and it tends to start in young adulthood, usually between the ages of 18 and 30. Surprisingly, I don't know why I'm surprised by this, but surprisingly affects women more than men, and researchers aren't entirely sure why. And then about 10 to 20% of people in America may get a milder form of SAD known as winter blues. So I just wanted to share that. And there are certain groups, subgroups that are more at risk 4, seasonal depression. If you have another mood disorder, such as major depressive disorder or bipolar disorder, you are more susceptible to being sad. If you live at altitudes further north or further south from the equator, there's actually less sunlight during the winter at these latitude points, so you are more likely to experience sad. And if you live in general in regions that have more clouds, you are also more prone to potentially being sad as well. When we look at some of the symptoms, I just want to go in depth in terms of symptoms that you may experience. And I would recommend you keep a tally in your mind. If you love lists like me, you can actually write a list. If you were experiencing during the months of, I would say, October through to March, any of these types of things, it is good to keep a mental note or even a physical note, because this could be aligned to you having seasonal depression. Those symptoms include sadness, right? Feeling depressed most of the day, almost every day, carb craving, and weight gain, that was big for me, extreme fatigue and the lack of energy, feelings of hopelessness or worthlessness, if you have trouble concentrating, if you're feeling irritated or agitated, if you're, this one I found interesting, if your limbs, like your arms or if your legs are feeling heavy, that could be aligned. If you are losing interest in usually pleasurable activities or withdrawing from social activities, that could be sad. If you are having problems sleeping or oversleeping, which I totally did yesterday, I slept the entire day. Or if you are feeling thoughts of death or suicide, these are seasonal affective disorder symptoms. So keep an eye on all of those symptoms. I'm gonna put all of those into the show notes so that you can have them as a quick resource in case you want to refer back to them. Looking through the lens of sobriety and alcohol specific to those symptoms, thinking back to a time when I was drinking heavily, which was every winter, every fall, every winter, almost every day, I would combat, or my idea of combating those symptoms were to drink, right? So anytime I got home from work, it's dark, it's bleak. On my way home, I would stop off at the wine shop. I would grab a few bottles and I would just drink the day away. That was my way, or the night away, really. And that was my way of combating my seasonal depression. So I just want to always think about like how alcohol played a role in that for me. So I was drinking and eating more. And because it was so dark in the mornings and dark when I was getting off of work, I was working out less, and exercise is and has always been the biggest, I would say, anchor in my mental health. And so removing exercise or not being able to work out as often as I liked to was extremely depressing to me, and therefore substances lent their hand in helping me feel as though I was falsely allowing me to believe that I was combating my seasonal depression just by drinking a ton of wine and being a couch potato, basically. To give myself and others grace during this time, if you are working out less, for example, or just getting outside less, that is, you know, a symptom of the weather. Like, that's understandable. It's cold, it's dark. I don't recommend people run in the cold and dark, especially if you're a woman. So I get that. I'm just naming that for everyone so that you can understand how maybe your drinking currently or formerly played a role in seasonal depression. Talked about it before, and just to throw it back, I got sober last summer, so summer 2021. And so I've done my very first cycle of surviving seasonal depression without turning to alcohol. Bravo, patting myself on the back there. And so today I wanted to share some of the tips and tricks that I used to do so without turning to my trusted ex-lover alcohol. That's how I refer to alcohol. I just see it as my ex that I was in a very toxic relationship with for many, many years, but finally gave the boot to, and you can too if you're not sober. So I just wanted to share some inspo that will hopefully help you survive a cycle of seasonal depression without turning to liquid or liquids for support. Okay. Tip number one for combating seasonal depression, especially when you're sober, is, or even if you're not sober, this is actually a good tip for anyone. Number one, get a sad lamp. I want to shout out my friend Coco. She put me onto a sad lamp. Mine is actually, I haven't done like the transition yet between getting my winter stuff fully unpacked. So it's in the back room. I have a sad lamp that I will link for you. I got it on Amazon for relatively cheap, less than like $40. So I'll put that into the show notes in case people want to buy one. But a sad lamp will change your life. Here's why. It emulates the sun. It's so pretty. It's just like a pretty, like, oval-shaped lamp. And you get to control the settings. So you can, like, program how bright you want the lamp. I want you to picture, like, a ring light for all my social media influencer people or anyone that uses ring lights. Usually it's because you want to look cute on camera. So imagine that, but, like, better settings in terms of, like, the lighting. And it really does emulate the sunlight. So you can put a sad lamp anywhere in your home. I like to use one in my bedroom because when I wake up around 5:30 to 6:30 a.m., the sun has not risen yet. It's really depressing. I'm like, bro, where are you? I need you. I need the sunlight to seep through my bedroom window, but it doesn't. But instead, you can just program your sad lamp. Some of them are really high tech and can even turn on their own. My one doesn't do that, but you can get one. So like there's different tiers in terms of what your budget looks like. I got a pretty cheap one on Amazon. I find it still does the trick. First thing first, when I wake up in the morning, I have my morning routine. So I get up and make my bed. I then turn on my sad lamp and then I do some journaling or meditation. So you can replicate a process that works for your morning routine in terms of using a sad lamp, right? Like it's pretty self-explanatory. You plug it in. Some of them are battery operated, but what you should aim for is getting one that's about 10,000 lux light. And you want to use it between, I would say like 15 to 30 minutes a day, about foot or like half a foot away from your face. So you want to get it as close up to here as possible. It just makes it so that you're really feeling like the sunlight is hitting your face. And it's a beautiful exchange between you and this lamp, which is really like the sun. Alternately, if you don't want to buy a sad light, you do not have to. You can just make an effort, and this may require some restructuring in terms of your schedule, but you can make an effort to ensure that you go outside for at least 5 to 10 minutes a day so that the sunlight can actually hit your face. That vitamin D is integral. What I've started doing is I actually have started taking lunch breaks where I go outside. I'm hoping that most people at work work from home, or even if you work in an office, that you get a designated time for lunch. And I encourage you in the cold months, which it's not super cold right now in October, but even in February, go outside. I know it takes more work, but the sun is usually shining. So go outside, get that vitamin D. Your body will thank you for it later. But yeah, get and invest in a sad lamp. It will change your life. You can thank me later. If you have a sad lamp, guys, what brands are you using? I would be open to even getting another one. That is my number one recommendation. Get a sad light or actually get direct sunlight. One of the two or a combination of both will make all the difference with adjusting and coping with your seasonal depression. Numero my second tip for combating seasonal depression and sobriety. This one is also my least favorite tip, but it has maybe the most impact. And so I say that because I loathe coldness. I do not like to be cold, hence why I struggle with seasonal depression. This tip is taking cold showers. It is a struggle to take a cold shower for me. It is something that I do not do every day. I would be lying to y'all if I said it. I did it even every other day. I do this about once, if it's a good week, twice a week. Once to twice a week, I take a nice cold shower. The whole shower doesn't have to be cold. I tend to shower about 10 minutes per day. So I don't know what the average shower length is. If I'm taking a 10-minute shower, am I taking a 10-minute cold shower? Absolutely not. I can't do it. Some people can. I'm just not one of those people. Instead, I would say like I do it in intervals. So I would start the shower off cold, just boom, get in there for about a minute. You can time yourself, then you can adjust the faucet and go back to the warm, hot setting. And then, you know, 2 minutes later, take another 30-second to 1 minute cold shower, readjust the faucet again. Now it's warm, go back. So back and forth, you get the point. Or if you are a G, you're just gangster with it, you can take a full 5 minute cold shower. Like I said, not something that I have successfully been able to do. Clinical studies have shown, science proves, that taking a cold shower for about 5 minutes once or twice a week severely decreases your level of depression. And it's also good for like regenerating cells in your body and for recovery. So if you're an athlete, or if you work out, or if you have tight muscles, for example, like taking a cold shower, or even better, a cold bath, will severely help with not just your depression, but also with regenerating cells and reducing injury and also repairing cellular tissue and muscle and things like that. So it is good for a whole host of reasons, but especially with seasonal depression. When I was in Thailand a couple months ago now, I, at the end of my Muay Thai training, I did a week at this fitness camp called Tiger Muay Thai. And it was every day grueling workout after grueling workout. And at the end of my week long stint there, my friend Kai, thank you so much, Kai, surprised me with an ice cold bath. So we went to the spa and they put like something like 50 bags of ice in this big tub and then filled it with water. And we took turns going in. And the first time I did it, I couldn't last more than a minute. And I was impressed by that. But then the second time I did it for 3 minutes. So hooray. And I instantly, like, it was almost like I got a shot of just happy endorphins. I was seriously in a good mood. I felt so good. Even as I'm like shivering the whole time recovering, I felt really good. So I know for a fact it works. And like I said, I try and do a cold shower, you know, once a week. If you do cold showers or if you haven't done them, let me know how the experience goes for you. Tip number 3 is something that has significantly changed my entire life, which is practice abundance and gratitude thinking. So I journal for an array of different reasons. You guys have heard me talk about journaling before, and I promise you will hear me talk about journaling again. I have different journals for different things. I have a negative thinking journal where I literally go to it to just talk shit, basically. And then I have a gratitude journal, and then I have like an everyday journal. So I have 3 journals I'm working with right now. And so the gratitude one has really been the one that I feel has changed the course of my life the most, because in practicing gratitude, there is a compounding factor. So like the more appreciative I am of things, I feel like the more abundance I'm allowing into my life. The more I bitch and complain about something, which like I said, I have a negative journal that I use and it's probably the most full, especially in the beginning stages of my sobriety. I'm almost running out of the pages in that one. But if you have a negative thought, put it down on paper. That's always a good idea. You're releasing that. But then you can also look at it from a lens of, okay, what is the positive in that negative? And what I mean by that, so for example, I chronically, it's something I'm really working on, but I need to work harder on, if I'm being honest. So for example, say you just have a shit day, you wake up late, then you're like running out the door, you're late, you miss your train, you get to work, your boss is bitching at you again for being late, whatever it may be. That's something that I would clearly journal about. But even in putting that down on paper, that's negative after negative after negative. In my mind, I'm also thinking like, oh my God, I woke up late, and oh my gosh, now I missed the train, and oh my gosh, now my boss is going to be mad at me. So it could be actually leading to more negative consequences based off of that one negative. But, you know, sometimes it's out of our control. And like, even if I was thinking happy thoughts on the way to work, my boss could still be mad that I'm late. So I'm not saying that like necessarily changes the whole course of your day. But if I journal about it, maybe I say to myself, okay, you woke up late today. Why? Maybe it's because you didn't set an alarm. Why? Maybe it's because you did set an alarm and you overslept and you hit snooze too many times. Either way, my body got the rest it needed. That would be me turning a negative into a positive. Okay, missed the train. What was that about? Like, how can you spin that narrative, Nadine? Well, I could see it like, okay, I was late on the train, but maybe I wasn't supposed to be on that train. Maybe if I got on that train, something bad would have happened. Like, this is how I think. Or maybe if I did get on that train, something bad could have happened to someone else. You never know how you impact other people. Now, I know this is far-fetched. I know that I'm using my imagination here. I'm imaginative. One thing is always linked to another thing. So who knows? Maybe there's a greater plan. Maybe there's invisible powers at play here. Maybe I just wasn't meant to be on time to work today. That's how I turned the negative into the positive. I was so hopeful when I was drinking that it was hard for me to practice having a gratitude mindset or an abundance mindset. And even when I quit drinking, it was still, woe is me. Life is unfair. Why can't I drink? Why am I in drinking timeout? Like, that was like my mindset. When I first started my gratitude journal and giving thanks to, for example, another day of sobriety, that was always like the opening line. Like, I am so grateful that I have another day of sobriety ahead of me to look forward to. I don't journal in the morning. Or if I journaled at night, I could be like, oh, thank you so much for allowing me to be stay sober the entire day. So in practicing that, like, that was really helpful for me because it shifted my mindset from deficits, like I'm losing out on something, to abundance. I'm gaining something. And that transformed the whole way I started to see my sobriety. Because I think for so many people in the beginning, it's like you have been warned time and time again, red flag, red flag, red flag on the play, right? Like everyone's like, you shouldn't drink. Or even if they're not encouraging you not to drink, you know somewhere inside of you, which is why you're listening to this podcast, that drinking may not be for you, right? You have come to the realization on your own that your life could be better or different without alcohol. And so in the beginning, it was really easy to spiral into the sense of like, this is all my doing and this is not fair and blah, 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 this and that and that and that. And it's like, no, get off the pity party pony and let's start talking about how much you're gaining through your sobriety. And then you'll start to see other aspects of your life also change. I never would have started this podcast if I was drinking. I would have been too hungover to even start. So things like that really, really do play a role in changing not just the way that you view your sobriety, but changing how you view life. And just connecting with the seasonal depression theme, it is a way for you to see that just like in nature, right? Like we are natural beings, we are human, we are animals. We have cycles too. Women, you know, sorry men if you're listening, I'm going to say a bad word. We menstruate. That's a cycle that takes place in, for most of us, every single month. And so understanding that your body is working, nature is working, is a beautiful thing, especially in these times with climate change. So I know that this is a broad, very macro level to think about things, but it is something that gives me a sense of hope because I was so hopeless before. I'm like, okay, the seasons are changing. I know the seasons are going to change and this is what comes along with it because that is nature and it is beautiful that we are even able to enjoy the cyclicalness of life. My next tip, tip number four, is to say yes more. I think I was so accustomed to saying no in early sobriety. No, no to drugs, no to alcohol, no to your party invite that's open bar. No, 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 no. Now in this phase of life, I'm saying yes more. It is so easy to, you know, become extremely introverted in winter and in fall because you don't want to go out. It's cold. Like, I don't blame you. Like, the bars even slow down in terms of their patronage. But it is important to still say yes and show up for things that matter to you and that matter to people that you love. Don't get into this cycle where you are becoming entirely antisocial. Don't get me wrong. I'm all about, like, taking time for you to regenerate, right? Like I take lots of me time, but also I say yes to things that make me uncomfortable even today. Now don't do it to the extreme or to the at risk to your sobriety. Like if you're going to say yes to something that's extremely triggering to you, I would say no, but say yes to things and invites that you wouldn't necessarily have said yes to because you're like, it's cold outside or it's going to be dark. Like try and still push yourself to be social. Try and still push yourself to try new things, whether that be a cooking class or painting or, you know, hanging with a friend on a Friday night because you haven't seen them in a while. Things like that. I would say yes more. You never know where it could lead you to. And it breaks up the monotony of everyday life, which we experience, especially in winter. It's usually, okay, wake up dark, go to work, come home dark, like binge watch Netflix. I don't know, not drink, hopefully. Like that can get really boring after a while. So try and shake it up and try and give yourself new things to look forward to as you grow and lean into your sobriety or enhance your sobriety. Don't ever become stagnant in life. Grow. Say yes. Like final tip for staying sober in seasonal depression is to listen and accept what your body has to say. I'll say that one more time. Listen and accept what your body has to say. Because it is really easy to feign ignorance when all of the signs are glaring at you. We as drinkers or people that have struggled, whether you call yourself an alcoholic or not, with drinking, we know all too well how easy it is to ignore the glaring signs that are right before us. We're in denial with our drinking for so long that it can be easy to still, even sober, ignore the cues that our body is clearly giving us. I am a perfectionist, especially when it comes to how I look. So, you know, I've talked before about how I've had disordered eating patterns and how I've used over-exercising as a means to control my weight, and how drinking aided in both of those two things, right? To be clear, what I mean by over-exercising when I was drinking was that I would basically punish myself for drinking too much, being super hungover, and then still forcing myself to work out to the brink of almost passing out. So that's what I mean by that. I want to remind people that your body is your friend. It's not your foe. So yesterday I was in Atlanta and I partied. I didn't drink, like, of course, but I was out and about. Like, my best friend and I, we were zipping and zooming and we were doing all the things, and we went to Clark Atlantic's homecoming. Fun time. That was actually great. I was dancing and we went out to brunch and we were walking and we were doing a ton of things. And just traveling too, I had a really early flight, 6 a.m. So I was exhausted. By the time I got back to my apartment, I was literally exhausted. Now, former me would have forced myself to work out. Instead, I slept. I slept the majority of the day, and I have no guilt about that anymore. Like, I actually am like, you did what you needed to do. You listened to your body and you took the nap, girl, and you went to bed at 8 p.m. and you woke up at 5:30 this morning. So you got like surplus hours of sleep. I don't feel guilty about sleeping away my Sunday, and neither should you. You should feel good about taking the actions that your body is telling you that they need and accepting that, not forcing your hand at something that doesn't feel good or feel right. This feels like a good place to also remind people that you need to watch what you consume. What we're putting into our bodies is how we're fueling our bodies, which is how we are exerting energy. And that's really basic science. Like, I know everyone knows that, but sometimes it's easy to forget that. Earlier, I referenced medication, like antidepressants, as being a remedy for seasonal depression, because it is for some. That would be included there too. So listen to your body. If you're doing all the things, if you're actively trying to take a holistic approach to maintaining your sobriety, as well as countering the effects of seasonal depression, and it's not working over a course of time, then talk to someone. Talk to a health professional. Do what you need to do. Don't just listen to like what I'm saying. Like, I didn't have to go the antidepressant route, although when I was drinking, I would have, and I was considering going that route. But since removing a major depressant in my life, I feel like I have enough power and enough support in the other things I'm doing to where I don't need to take an antidepressant. That's not to say I never will. It's just saying right now what I'm doing is working. Do what works for you. I mentioned that before, but I just wanted to bring it full circle, because people need to know that like what goes into my toolbox may not be what goes into your toolbox, and that is okay. I'm wondering, what things that I mentioned have you tried? Have you tried any of the things? Have you taken a cold shower? Do you journal based off of gratitude? Are you using a sad lamp? I want to know. Do you have other tips that I didn't mention here? Because please share. I need to know. I want to share with other people. I'm not an expert when it comes to all seasonal depression remedies. So if you have other approaches that I did not mention that have helped you with your seasonal depression, let me know. I want to encourage everyone. We are midway through Sober October. This episode will drop October, I believe, 18th. Yep. And so you are there. If you have slipped up with your Sober October in any capacity, please do not spiral. Just stop drinking for that day. I just want to share that I had an amazing weekend. I went to Atlanta. I think I referenced briefly in the episode. I went to Atlanta and I saw my best friend, and she was super sweet. So my friend Kaylin, she is a social drinker, and she was, you know, I think a little nervous. I'm putting words into her mouth though. She did not say she was nervous, but I could tell she was really working on figure out how to like maneuver in our relationship, you know, present day, because although we talk all the time and she knows I'm sober, obviously, she and I have never really hung out. Well, we hung out the first summer I got sober, which was a really vulnerable time for me. And I was still trying to go to the same places that I was going to when I was drinking. So like we all went to brunch, and then it was like a day of like brunch, boozy brunch to like bar to bar. And I was not in a good mood. I was not feeling it. So I haven't seen her in person since then. This was the first time I've seen her as somebody who feels comfortable in their sobriety. And I had a blast. Like, we had a time. Okay, we had a time. We had a good time. And she even said, like, oh my God, like, you are still the same person. Like, you don't need alcohol. Like, you never needed it. And that was, like, the highest form of compliment for me, because I really struggled with identity and my sobriety and figuring out who I still was. Am I still the same person? But I felt like she was basically nodding her hat off to me and saying that, like, you are still you and she loves me and I love her. So I feel really good about that. Speaking of identity and sobriety, next week's episode is going to be aligned with Keisha over at Done With Debauchery. I'm going to Toronto, y'all, this upcoming weekend. So I'm so excited to meet Keisha. Her and I are going to have a joint podcast episode. So Keisha has her own sobriety podcast, Done With Debauchery, and we're going to be doing a 2-episode special. One episode is going to be talking about identity in recovery or sobriety. So I am so excited to bring that to y'all. We are also hosting our very first sober meetup, which will be in Toronto. So if you're listening to this and you are in the Toronto area, or if you just want to travel for a good time, if you're in New York, like a lot of people are in New York listening to this, I live in New York, so if you want to like take a quick hour trip up to Toronto to join us for the sober meetup, I encourage you, just reach out. You can message me on the Sober Butterfly Instagram page, or you can send me an email at Nadine@thesoberbutterfly.com and let me know. It's not too late to come. We're having our meetup be like a pre-Halloween get together. We're calling it booze, like boo, no booze. And I think it's going to be such a good time. So if you are interested in joining us, let us know and we will send you an official invite. Thank you guys so much, as usual, for listening to the Sober Butterfly podcast. Quick reminder, my new episodes drop every single Tuesday at 6 a.m. So you can listen to the Sober Butterfly podcast as your favorite sober resource. Getting ready for work, going to work. I don't know what you're doing. We have the YouTube channel, so you can watch me. If you're not watching live, you can actually check this episode out and see my beautiful face and my lips move with my mic. Okay, that's a lot. Either way, or you can keep listening on Spotify or Apple Podcast. I really love you guys and appreciate you. Don't forget to send me any tips or tricks that you use for staying sober during seasonal depression or just this time of year. Besitos. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.